in this little series that I've been doing. The title was How to Be an Overcomer. How to be victorious in your Christian walk. And first of all, we talked about trust. And the critical thing there was, who do we trust? Do we trust ourselves? Our little finite mind? And our understanding of the word? Well, we have to have a certain amount of background and a certain amount of grounding. We've got to establish this foundation. And this is what we're talking about here. Most people here have been working on their foundation. What I mean by that is, a foundation is the establishment of a larger structure. And what before you can build something on top of something else, it's got to be real solid. And it's got to be established. And the cornerstone, when you want to talk about building in this situation, is got to be Yahweh and Yeshua, the cornerstone. That's the most important part of your foundation. So that's, we've been talking about trust and who to trust, and we can't trust ourselves. We learned that ourselves, we're tempted, we're constantly under bombardment. The two masters concept that I was talking about, Satan or Yahweh, we've got to consider who we're trusting, who are we listening to? When we go into prayer, when we have our meditations, when we meet here, you know that I am talking specifically about the holy God of the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Yahweh, his name is Father Yahweh, and his only begotten Son, Yeshua. Now, as I'm going along here, if there's ever any a point where you guys want to interrupt or ask a question or get a clarification, be sure to just pop your hand up and we'll take it from there. But now today, I want to go on a little bit and talk about the other favorite word of mine. My concept is to trust and obey. So we're going to talk a little bit about obedience and what it means to God for us to obey Him, and also how it affects Him when we get sidetracked, when we get waylaid and we get off the track, so to speak, and start listening to worldly advice. Now everybody says, "Well, we got to know what's going on in the world. You know, the world is right around us, and we're affected by this world. And what are we going to do about some of these things?" Well, we'll learn a little bit more about what God says about all these natural disasters and what is going on right now. And it's in the prophecy, isn't it? Most of you have read it. You read about the natural disasters, and you read about the natural things such as fire. Fire is a natural phenomenon. It's a cleansing, actually. It's talked about in the Bible where fire, people are faced with fire, and it's a cleansing thing, and it's the same thing that's going on right now. However, the byproduct is not good in these natural fires, because it's hard to breathe, and it affects a lot of people a different way. It affects the wildlife. You can talk about a whole, that's another subject you can talk about forever and ever. But I want to talk about this word obey and obedience, and what it means to us to obey the right authority. That's the word I'm looking for, authority. We talked about authority before. A little bit about it, a little bit of foundation about authority. When we read the Bible, all these men that are listed here, and these groups of people, these tribes and so on and so forth, and especially the apostles, they wrote not their own inclination, not their own idea, not what they wanted to do, not what they thought they wanted you to do. It was all Yahweh inspired. God inspired. He told them what to write. So, when you write a letter, and some of us write letters to our folks, more or less, probably nowadays, it's email. And when we write a letter to our folks or to somebody that we haven't been in contact with for a while, it just sort of flows out. You know, what are you doing, and what's important in your life, or how's your kids doing, all this kind of thing. Well, Yahweh feels the same way. He's concerned about us kids. We're all His kids. We talk about the growth pattern. The sanctification thing, idea, is a long-term process. It's a growth process where we're growing every day. And sometimes we come across a stumbling block. And Satan is always going to throw up some kind of a barrier. If your life is going along fairly good and you feel, oh man, I am fortunate and I am doing better than I thought I was going to do, and I think that I'm on the right track, that's when Satan is going to come and hit you with doubt and temptation. This temptation thing is probably the toughest thing we have to deal with. It's the toughest thing, I think, that most people have to deal with. And another thing that Satan throws at us that can really negatively affect us, that can bring us down, and can stop our growth, is this, what they call condemnation. And that is bringing up your past. Bringing up a problem or a situation, maybe what they call a stronghold, something in your life that you've had a problem with, and you may be going along and you figured you've conquered this particular situation and that you won't have another problem with it. Well, it's going to be constantly brought up to you, but it can be overcome. There's no doubt about it. God gives us the ability to overcome that, and that's what we're going to look at right now. But the first thing that I want to make sure that we understand, and is a very critical thing in my mind, and it's something that's come up lately in my mind, I've always probably subconsciously accepted it, but it's this business about humbly receiving the word of the Bible. And not only receiving it by reading it, by listening to maybe someone on the internet. We've got to be very careful. I don't want to bring that up and discuss that a whole lot, because the internet is not a good authority in itself. The internet has information. It's got boundless, infinite information. But we've got to have a filter. We've got to filter that information. We've got to be very careful who we believe and who we want to emulate and who we want to be like, and who we want to copy, and who we want to promote, and who we want to tell people, well, listen to this guy, because, man, he's terrific. Well, he could be, and he might be. And praise God for a lot of the evangelists and the folks on TV and in the internet itself. But it can be a dangerous situation, so keep that in mind. We have to use, I think that word, I like that word, filter. And that filter is our Holy Spirit. Remember, guys, we've got a holy temple. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 holy temples in this one little room where God has installed, instilled His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, if we listen to it and we use that Holy Spirit the way it's professed here in this Bible, then it's good. But if you don't, and I want to talk a little bit about that here a little bit in just a few minutes, but this humbly accepting the word planted in you, which can save you. And that's in James. James, the book of James, Jacob, is a very practical book. It's a book of practical living. It's a very good guide that we should be attending to and reading on a regular basis. And this humbly receiving, it says in James, further on in James, it says, be doers of this word, and not only hearers, because you can deceive yourself. It says, lay aside, James 1:21 says, and I've repeated this before, because this is a tough thing, lay aside all filthiness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. There's a Bible scholar by the name of W.E. Vine said that the Greek word used here for receiving, humbly receiving, means deliberate and ready reception of what is offered. Meekness is an attitude towards God in which we accept His dealing with us as good. Sometimes we say, oh my God, He has given me a bad hand. He is putting me through literally, if you want to use the word hell, He's putting us through maybe a situation that we say to ourselves, how am I going to overcome this? What am I going to do about this? Well, we should not dispute or question whatever comes along, because it's God's plan. It's His program. We wouldn't do it that way, probably. We said, well, I'd never do something like that to somebody. And the golden rule is, you know, do unto others as they do unto you. Is that the golden rule?
No, I think it's do unto others before they do it to you.
Okay. But remember, what we're talking about here is, don't, just because somebody is nasty, and just because God has done something, or allowed, He hasn't done it, He's allowed it to happen, it's for your own good. And that's the hardest thing for us to accept. We'll just take it as gospel, and that's it. We just have to take it. A humble heart doesn't fight against God or contend with Him.
What's humble exactly?
Humbleness. Humble means to feel that you, well, there's a lot of different explanations of humbleness, but humbleness in my mind means that whatever comes along, we have to feel that that is what we're responsible to for. What In other words, sometimes we have a bad situation and we say to ourselves, well, I'm too good for that. I don't know what he's trying to do to me. What kind of a situation is he putting me under? That is pride. It's the difference. It's the opposite of having a prideful self-ego.
It's like submission.
Well, it goes along with submission. What comes into your mind?
Humble is the condition of being in humility.
Humility. That's right. You're on the right track when you say submission. Because
right,
if you try to resist and do it your way, that's not being humble. Humble is it's being.
That word supplication also refers to that. It's the idea of bowing down and being submissive,
okay,
or being in a state of humility, where you're accepting that authority, and engaging in that obedience to that authority.
That's right.
It all comes together.
Humble. Can I give you my definition?
Yeah. How do you look at that?
It's being humble is accepting the possibility of good, bad, or indifferent. Okay, all things are possible. So leaving yourself open.
Not making a terrible resistance, or not trying to push back.
To be open.
Yeah. Okay.
To be judgmental.
What else, Jennifer?
Kind of what Blue said is you're not trying to control everything.
That's right.
You're yielding your control to God.
Yielding.
And all that kind of covers that thing too.
That's real good.
You know what? Maybe I should just let God handle this. You know, I know my ego, and I'll get myself into trouble that way.
Yeah. We'll do it. Yeah.
That's right. That's the thing about letting God control, letting the Holy Spirit control you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the thing. It's the difference between having this prideful ego where your plan is going to be better than anything that the Lord would ever think about. I mean, what is He? I mean, remember where He is, and let Him control. And be in submission, which is a good word, and that's one of the things that I've got here. Talk about submission. Let's look at submission. Let's look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And someone else, okay, a couple of you look for 1 Peter. A couple others, like Lana, would you look up John 15, 1 Peter 5, 6, John 15, 10, Atlanta. Mm. And I'll just preface while you guys look at that. Sometimes, and this is something that happens, because we're exhausted, or we're exasperated, we don't pay close attention to what Yeshua tells us to do. And before we take any action, we have to listen very carefully. We have to pray about it. Pray. Because you may think about a situation that you went through 15 years ago, and God handled it a little bit different. He didn't tell you at that time to wait and let it slide a little bit. He told you to go ahead and do something right away. And but now, facing the whole, this maybe a slightly different situation, but the same kind of a challenge, He might tell you He has a different plan, a different way to approach it. And we're all growing. We're all maturing. Hopefully, prayerfully, we are able not only to help ourselves, but to help somebody in our family. Somebody, especially maybe a younger person. A child that is going through a situation that you've already gone through. And in this situation, you may be able to supply just the right plan for him. Not, you don't tell him, for instance, well, this is the way you got to do it. No. You might say something like, you know, if I had that situation, one of the ways I might approach that or do that is this, and then blah, blah, blah. Okay, what do we got there as far as submission is concerned? 1 Peter 5:6, who's got that? What is that? What's that have to say?
Out of the New English it says, "And God will exalt you in due time if you humble yourselves under his mighty hand by casting all your cares on him because he cares for you."
There it is. It's very simple, isn't it?
Dictionary interpretation of humbleness,
yeah.
Of being humble.
Yeah, what
just,
is it?
Just as a basis.
What does it say?
Okay. Marked by meekness or modesty in behavior,
okay.
Attitude or spirit, not arrogant or prideful.
Beautiful. Meekness, that's another word that goes along with humble. And you mentioned that. You know as well as I, if a neighbor or somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, you stinker, you know, I don't like your attitude, and I don't want to hear from you." And you say, "Well, listen, buddy, I'm coming at you from the Bible, and you better listen. It's for your own darn good." What's going to happen in a situation like that? We all know what it is. You know?
Smackdown School of Bible.
A good comeback. A good comeback to that many situation where someone has tried to put you down is, "What you think of me is none of my business."
None of my business. You got to think about that for a while. But okay. All right. How about John 15? What do we got here?
John 15 what?
John 15:10. Is anybody?
Thank you.
I've got it. Yeah. Somewhere.
I think it's something to do with submission.
Can't find the little number. Oh, there it is. "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love."
It goes right back to
obeying
and commandments. And commands, we're talking about God's will, not our will, not our program, not our plan, because it's going to be contaminated. Our plan is not always going to work. Probably it won't work that often. Who knows? We're not here to debate that, but we have got to focus on His Word and on His program. Let's look in Isaiah.
So
Isaiah 55. Everybody looked at Isaiah 55.
Actually, another word, right now, might have the job with the horse. You know, I really, really want it. So
yes, we've been praying for this.
And then I've been praying the Lord, and it was like okay, Lord, I want that job, you know. And then now I say, "May your will be done." So I'm in progress.
Yes.
I'm in progress.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I think God will honor that.
I'm learning.
Yes, that's right.
My mom used to say, "He doesn't close a door without opening a window either." So if you pray in His will, you might not get what you were expecting to get.
Yeah.
But you'll still be given the opportunity that He wants you to have.
He has alternatives. Sometimes, you know, He's not just going to do exactly the way that you think it's going to should be done, and not the way that you would have done it. I mean, but there's an alternative thing there, and like I said, another door may be open. When He closes a door, He will allow another door to open somewhere. And we've got to be perceptive to that and to be on the watch and on the lookout. And we've got to be focusing. Isaiah talks about God's word accomplishing what he wants to accomplish, not what you want to accomplish. Isaiah 55, anybody got it? 8. Start out with 8, verse 8, and read through 11, Peter. What it has to say there.
And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
There you go.
Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. How far do you want me to go?
Through 11. Is that?
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot to be said right there. And so we understand that, and we accept that. We've got to humbly receive and accept this word and his decision. 2 Timothy. Somebody look up 2 Timothy 3. And in the meantime, Lana, would you look up 1 Peter chapter 5? We talked about that. No, forget that 1 Peter. That's a submission thing about his timetable. Look, Lana, would you look up Proverbs 30? Leah, would you look up Proverbs 16?
Proverbs 16.
Yeah. Jennifer, would you look up Proverbs 3? And who wants to look up Proverbs 4? Miranda, do you have your Bible? Okay. You got one Bible there?
2 Timothy 3.
Okay, go ahead. 2 Timothy 3:16 I was looking at. But maybe look at that, Mark, and see if there's anything right there about his system, his navigational system, his plan, his program, and his roadmap.
Every scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person dedicated to God may be capable and equipped for every good work.
Aha.
16
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about building this foundation. We're talking about understanding what God has for us here, what he has for us through his Holy Spirit, listening to his Holy Spirit, and not only just listening, but then doing it and acting on it. But we don't have to act upon it immediately. Sometimes we react. It's not the same. Reacting and acting are two different kind of things. And we talk about reacting. Sometimes we let our little finite mind and our misunderstanding of something get in the way of a solution. What else do we have here? We have some other things that we looked up. What do you got, guys? Who has Proverbs 3 or Proverbs 16? Which one? What do you... Read around verse 9.
Verse 9?
Yeah. What does 9 have to say there?
Man's heart devises his way, but Yahweh directs his steps.
Aha. That's a good one, isn't it? That's a short one. That's just a little mouthful there. God directs his steps. It's like that old thing about mice and men and, you know, all the plans that we make. And then, for one reason or another, half of them fall through the wayside, fall in the ditch. Sometimes our plans, we change our plans and goals change. You take Peter and myself, we're getting up there, and our goals 30 years ago, our goals were a lot different from what they may be today.
Oh, I thought you were getting taller.
Yeah, no, we're getting shorter. Actually, we're getting shorter, but we're getting wiser, hopefully. And I say, when I speak about wise, it's not necessarily knowledge. It's in the form of wisdom. And I hope, hopefully, in my case, I say godly wisdom. Because my wisdom is nothing. It's considered nothing to Yahweh. What other proverb? Proverbs 3. Did somebody have a Proverbs 3?
Yeah, what verse?
5 and look at 5 and 6.
Okay. I have the parallel version, so I'm going to read the...
Go ahead, whatever you see there that is appropriate.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then in the Living Bible, if you want favor with both God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely, don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. But now remember this, guys. We don't have to have a big fat ego and say, my way is the only way. But we do have to realize that God has given us self-esteem. He wants us to love ourselves first. Well, I don't know. Love him first, maybe love ourselves second. It's debatable. But you know what I'm saying. He doesn't want us to feel like we're nothing and we are stupid and that we have no kind of a lifeline. We have no kind of a pipeline to him because it is there. We've got it. It's innate. It's right there. And we have got to realize that, and we have got to grab a hold of that, and we've got to surge. We go ahead with it. Don't just sit back and say, oh my God, poor little meek, humble me. You know, what am I? I can't do nothing. And no, none of that kind of business. We know better than that. Who's got another scripture there that I ask about? Lana, did you have one?
Proverbs 30, what verse?
Look at 5, or right around at 5. 4 or 5,
every 6. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar.
Yes. We're talking about his road. We're talking about God's navigational system. You know, you got a TomTom in your car. Or maybe you have some kind of a GPS, or whatever that is. I call GPS God's plan for my soul. GPS, God's plan for my soul. So, you know, he has got a plan and a system that we can, whatever the word is, technically we can get into. We can delve into, we can associate, we can call it up. We can, you know, we can use it at any point in our life. We can use it whenever we're alone. We can use it whenever we're with somebody. We can use it at night, at daytime, whatever the situation is. Don't ever sell it short. And the last thing there in that deal is James 4. James 4, verse 8. James again is so good. We could read James all day long, and it would be helpful, and it would be very inspiring to us. James, who's got it? Maybe Mark.
James 4,
4:8, or right around that area, Mark. What does it say?
Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and make your hearts pure, you double-minded. Mm-hmm. So we're being rebuked there, too, a little bit.
That's right. That's about this goodness. That's about casting off filthiness. And that, yes, and you know, we are in ourselves. Who can say that you're 100% pure? Well, we'd have to be lying in that respect, wouldn't we, if we said we're 100% pure? But who is? Who do we know that is? Whose purity, whose righteousness are we part of, and can we assimilate, and can we claim when it comes down to brass tacks? We know whose that is. Dependency is another thing that we're looking at here. Dependency. We were all at one time dependents. Miranda's a dependent right now. She's dependent not only to her mom and her grandma, but she's also dependent to Father God. So we as children are dependents. And let's say, let's never say we're not. Let's say, I'm happy that I'm depending upon Father Yahweh, the most powerful God in this universe. We should be searching. Proverbs 8. Peter, would you look up Proverbs 8:17? Mark, would you look up Psalm 57? Lana, Hosea 6. Leah, Psalm 72.
Proverbs 8, what, Bill?
Yeah, Proverbs 8:17.
Got it.
And Jennifer, would you look up Titus? It's right after Timothy there. Titus 2:7. Leah, did you get 72:12? 72, verse 12. Lana, Hosea 6, and I'm not sure about the verse. Look through there. That's a short. Psalm 57. Is that you, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
He talks about his being our refuge. Look through there and see what is really, would really be a good verse on that. I'm not sure. Peter, you got. Go ahead with Peter 8:17. I got one for you, brother. Just a minute.
I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me.
There you go. If you don't seek him, if you don't ask him, if you don't pray to him, he's not going to communicate with you. Mm. And we have got to remember not to go out ahead of him. We've got to. That's where I admit this meditation thing and taking a time every day, if you have a chance, and most of us can, either morning, at night, whenever is it, a quiet time for you, to read something and meditate on it. Don't just read it to say, oh, I've read, I accomplished my goal today, I read the first chapter of Peter. That doesn't make a hill of beans. Unless you got something out of it, think about what this word is saying, whatever you're reading. You want to think about who's the writer, who's he writing to, what is he saying, what is there a question, is there a statement, is there something there that he wants you to do? Mark, go ahead on this. Mark, on the refuge thing. Psalm 57
is only 11 verses long,
yeah.
But the first one really kind of summarizes it. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, for in you I have taken shelter. In the shadow of your wings I take shelter until trouble passes.
There you go.
And
that's very self-explanatory.
Just expands on that.
But these are promises, guys. These are not just words that he's throwing out here. Edge David is complaining there. No, he's not complaining. He's saying, oh, yes, I'm glad you're there. I need you. I want you. And we should be thinking about some of these patriarchs and some of these folks in the Bible. We can think of these parables and put ourselves in that place. And he would treat us the same as he's going to treat one of those folks. Who's got Hosea 6? Did you see that, Alana?
Yeah, what am I looking at?
Well, I don't know. In Hosea 6, I don't have the verse. There's something. We're talking about dependency, refuge, a sanctuary, some kind of protection.
I think maybe the first part. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us.
Uh-huh.
He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence.
Okay. Restoration, restoration. He doesn't ever promise us that we're not going to have a problem, does he? He doesn't say, hey, you guys are going to have the easiest path, and you don't have to worry about a single thing. Well, he says you don't have to worry about it because he says, I'm greater than anything else. I am able. And the second part of that is he's not going to give you more than you can handle, brother. He promises that. Who's got Psalm 72, Leah, 72:12, right around there?
For he will deliver the needy when he cries, and the poor that has no helper.
Okay. Now, how does God do some of these things? He could do it with the snap of the finger. He could do it instantaneously by himself. But who does he use, and who does he want to contribute to some of these situations?
Us.
Yeah. That's why we're here. That's one of the reasons that we're still around. Some of us have been taken and don't have to face these challenges anymore. But we still have a responsibility and an obligation here, don't we? And that's why a lot of us older people, the younger people are busy with their jobs, and you know, it's a tough world out there. The older guys, such as myself, have a lot of time on our hands. And so it's important to use that time wisely. And we are blessed to be able to contribute and to do something for somebody else and to help out and to contribute and to make us also feel. He also gives us a feeling of satisfaction and accomplishment by doing some of these things. Otherwise, these guys, you get to be old and you go down. I'm going to sit down in my rocking chair, and I'm going to watch TV for a while, and I'm going to nap every once in a while, and honey, bring me a beer.
I don't think so.
But you get the picture there.
Got to have somebody to play along with.
You get the picture. Now, we're getting, getting down here. I got just a few more things here. Brother, did you have something that you had a question?
Well, I'm late today because I got carried away in the Bible. I would like to share it.
I'd like you to share whatever comes to your mind.
Romans 8 and 9.
Romans 8 and 9, a fantastic book. Let's turn to Romans, because Romans is a critical book. And you're talking about Chapter 8, what chapter?
8 and 9.
Both chapters?
Yes. Can I read that?
How long are they? We don't have a whole lot of...
Or how about just 8?
Why don't you just read us 8?
Okay.
Because we're a little bit short on time.
Right. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature.
Stop a minute. We're talking about the old covenant, right, guys? The law. The law. The law. It's been superseded by the new covenant, by God's sacrifice. It's taken care of it all. Yes, go ahead, brother.
Yes. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit.
There you go.
Continue.
Yes.
Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace.
Praise God.
The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness.
And his righteousness, yes. His, God's righteousness, yes. Remember that, guys. But we can, like I said, we assimilate that. It's osmosis, his righteousness. It's a growth pattern. You keep getting better and better and better. Go ahead.
Thank you for that.
Yes, yes.
And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. They repeated themselves pretty much.
This is very foundational. This is a very foundational kind of thing we're talking about today.
Right.
That's what we build on. This is what we build on. Yes, go ahead. How much more have you got there?
Not too much. I'll just read a little bit more.
All right.
For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father.
Yes.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in the order that we may also share in his glory.
That's it. We'll call it right there. Did you notice that they were talking? He mentioned fear in there. Okay. Now, does that mean? Oh my God! I'm afraid of what God's going to do to me. I don't know how he's going to react about this kind of thing. Well, we know how he's going to react about these kind of things. If we're not doing something against his will, against the Spirit will tell you. You can feel it. You'll feel it. And the fear that we're talking about is reverence. We're talking about the fact that we love our Father. And most of us have had good relations with our Father. Our regular biological Father. Some have had some problems in our families. And those kinds of things are scar. They'll scar you. You have scar tissue. But you can overcome that. And so, like you said, the chapter started out, there is no condemnation. No condemnation. The last thing I want to say, and we're going to call it a day, and that is the fact that I'm here, and I hope you guys are here to please God. The reason that we come together to support each other, to encourage, to exhort, to help. But the underlying thing is, why did God put us on this earth? He wanted to communicate. He wanted to have family. He wants us to treat our family the same way He's treating His family. And so that's important. The last thing I think here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Who's got, Mark, you can do it probably quicker than anyone. When we look at chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians. starting, I have the chapter, verses 9 and 10, but let's see. Start before that, brother.
That's what we get here.
In 5, it says, go ahead, we're starting with 5.
It's not there yet. Go ahead, Lana.
Okay.
Oh, we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
Okay. So remember, we're being judged. We're being judged now. And there's and it says there we're going to be judged at the judgment seat. So maybe that's going to be to determine what crowns we're going to be presented with. There's a little conjecture there. There's different people have different ideas about that. Peter,
just a little side note. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. I think Mark said that.
Yes.
There's a Hebrew expression called Baruch Hashem, Shem meaning God.
Yes.
That whatever God has us do or does to us, whether it's good or bad, it's good, whatever it is, even though it's, if you have cancer, God ordered it, that you have it. It's hard to comprehend for me.
That's right.
I understand, God, what you're saying, but wow, it still hurts.
It does. There's no doubt about it. And it's not easy. It's never going to be easy. But we know that we will. He promised us eternal life. This life here is just 80 years on average, maybe even less than that. It goes just like that. Let me tell you guys, I'm 70-some years old, and I can't keep up with time. Time is passing me by. It's day by day, it's just nothing, and week by week, and then month by month. It's something else. Now, some of us may have a harder time with that.
Good.
Father Yahweh, thank you for this group meeting to worship you, to praise you, and to thank you, and to look forward to what you have for us. And you've heard our requests. We ask for that supernatural ability that you only are capable of to support each one and to answer these prayers in the way that you see fit. Thank you in your precious Son Yeshua's name today. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.